Blog Talk Radio.
You know, it's just not Eerie House without the goat. Good evening. Welcome to Eerie House Magazine. Happy New Year, our second show of the year. And it's starting off the good year, the year right with Blog Talk, more later. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show. I'm accompanied by
Dave Binkley from Weirdness, Really Bad Movie, and Spaceship One. And
we're sponsored by the goat.
We're sponsored by?
Yep.
A yodeling pickle? I don't know. Did the yodeling pickle send us $5 in finally?
Maybe. Hey, does Purina make a goat chow?
Yes, they do. Yeah, they do.
Because I know they make monkey chow.
I do happen to know that.
Yeah. Just,
I don't think they make cow chow now, though, you know?
No. Yeah, it's called hay.
Packaged by Purina. Best for your pets, yes.
Yes. Using our special Purina string to tie up the bale of hay.
There you go.
It's not the same without the Purina string. Yeah. No, I don't think they're just as complex because they're all hoogitarians or vegetarians.
I mean, does a cow really care what it eats? After all, it has to go through 7 stomachs first?
Yeah, you would think they could eat iron. Anything but corn.
Anything but corn. Well, yeah.
Corn will survive 7 stomachs.
And salads. Salads are hard for them to digest, too, so you got to be careful. You know?
Salad? That's all they eat is salad.
Yeah, but they don't have all the fixings. Actually, I like a little bit of lettuce with my bacon bits and my dressing and my diced onions and diced tomatoes. I like a little bit of lettuce with all those things.
Wife is making taco salad tomorrow, and it's funny. I'm like the anti-vegetarian. When it comes to taco salad, I'll put like one little tiny shred of lettuce and all the other good stuff. Just give me more meat. Not big on cheese. On taco salad.
Don't forget the cheese. Don't forget the cheese, Dale.
Enough of my dietary habits. could get gross. CW's in the chat along with Pogs Payne and good old Bob.
Well, hopefully CW will have a chance to call in and be part of the crew again.
Guess what? Everything works. 2 nights in a row. It's unbelievable.
Okay. This night isn't over yet. So,
what am I saying?
Not go too far because this night has just begun.
Yeah.
But
if I were the superstitious.
Yep.
If I were the superstitious sort, I would say I cursed us. I mean, beyond
I know you're not superstitious, but I'm knocking on wood just the same, you know?
Yeah.
Or knocking on fake wood, so that isn't really, you know, taking care of a superstition, so.
Yeah. Whenever I say that, I always knock myself on the head.
Yeah.
For some reason, I don't know. So we're going to, it's more pronunciation. Last night, we had a little difficulty with the first name in one of our episodes.
Myra or something like that. Maria.
Tonight the title equally as challenging, but I believe, because I snuck a quick listen to the beginning of tonight's show, I think it's the Venus de Ol. It's kind of French.
It should be D apostrophe L L E. Which is weird because it's about isn't it about a Greek god?
Yeah.
So why would they give it a French name? I think it was I'm pretty sure that's an Elspetheric. I'll have to look that up. But I'm pretty sure that's an Elspetheric.
You can count on E.G. Marshall to provide clarity.
Yep, on everything except your what you don't believe is macabre.
Macabre.
Well, here, now you're going to make a liar out of E.G. Marshall, huh?
He had an accent. I just know he did. It's that area he's from. Oh, jeez.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It's another CBS radio mystery theater thriller.
It is an interesting story. Does have to do with Ring also. So, and good old Norman Rose is back in the lead tonight. And I'm pretty sure this is an Elspeth Eric tale. She wrote so many more than I originally thought. We have delved into these. I am surprised at the amount I don't think she can write tales because she actually even wrote some for a few for Suspense and may have written one or two for the Theater 5.
Ooh.
Found a couple interesting facts for some of those stories, which you do have coming up in the next month or so. And a couple of neat little facts about Theater 5 coming up. So,
oh, good. And we do have a lot of radio planned. Dave has scheduled up some Lulus. And we'll get into that, too, towards the end of the show, especially if we have lots of time.
Which we will tonight.
Yep.
I don't think this was the good copy I got didn't include the commercials, I don't believe, tonight. So,
yep. Oh, yep. And
we got time.
If you'd care to call in, it's 646-378-0264 in case you forgot. Hey, Boggs called us not long ago.
He did. When we were having the trouble, he was trying to listen in, and that was the only way he could listen. But, you know, you got to be careful of that, because I did that once to listen in because I couldn't get the link to work, and the next thing I know, they had me on the radio. It just wasn't fair.
It's weird.
That was back in the the Castle days, and when I was nervous about calling in and such. So.
Oh, yeah. I don't know why. You're good at this. You've done radio. It's just live. That's all.
Well, it's always different in front of people. And radio, when I'm hiding behind a microphone at work, I don't see the people. Well, when we're in chat, I see the people and such. So, but I have loosened up a bit.
Well, that's okay. You got that, and I've got not knowing where the puppet from Reptilicus wound up. So I
didn't know either. Yeah, I didn't know either.
I wish. That was my way of heralding the one, the only, the horrible horror itself, Gar the Ghoul.
Yeah. I found so much information about Reptilicus I never knew, except I still don't know where the puppet is.
I would say if you can't find out where it is, it's probably been destroyed. And you know what's sad?
Good recommendation from Fogsbane. Bob Burns might know what happened to the puppet from Reptilicus.
Well, I'll have to call him right after I finish with you guys.
The monster kid himself. Well, if you have his number. He's quite ancient now, I'm sure.
Yeah,
but
speed dial at the retirement home. Sure, yeah.
And it better be speed dial in that case, yeah.
That's
right.
No,
you know, I always used to say, you know, how these people would say their cat, oh, we got a psychic cat at the nursing home. She jumped on that person's bed and they were dead the next day. Well, I would say the odds are pretty, if you're
what
in the nursing home, if the cat's probably visiting everybody, he's going to be right every other night, you know?
I know. That's
terrible. And if you were like me, it'd be more terrible to find it amusing, but it's also true. I often find truth amusing.
Well, you know, it's like Stephen King, that cats are out there to steal souls. So he's just bouncing from person to person, you know, reaping rewards. So the crazy thing about this Reptilicus is the director, after it was done, he didn't like it. But he sued anybody that ever attempted use it. If anybody even attempted, this was before he died, he was like suing everybody. The only people he didn't sue was Charlton Comics, and I don't know why. There was actually comic books about this. Yeah, and then they morphed it into something else. Reptilicus actually met
he
all of the Japanese monsters at one point in time.
He should have sued the singing.
He
should have sued the singing janitor.
Oh my! That guy was a Danish comedian, and he was put in by who? The director that sued everybody.
Yep.
Should
have sued himself. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That'd be a nice job. You make a really bad movie, and you sue everybody that was associated with it for doing a bad job. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you tried to use it after he did it, he's like, I'm going to sue you. It's so much, man. I got so much to talk about in the next 2 hours or whatever, all about this. And I found this out, and I was like, I didn't need to know. The only thing I couldn't find is what happened to the puppet, which is what I was looking for.
Yeah. It's a shame. And if they destroyed it, it'd be such a shame, because I know that the very first robot made that was made for, that the General Electric made for the World's Fair.
Yes,
it blew up a World's Fair. But that's here in Mansfield, and they don't know where it's going to go because that museum is shutting down or something. And that might be destroyed.
The very first
robot.
If I recall correctly, they put a balloon in its mouth and they blow it up.
Somebody's got to save that. Some science fiction guru that's got a lot of dough needs to save that thing.
Yeah.
Bob Burns.
Same thing should have happened with Forry Ackerman's collection, but that's a whole other story for another time.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I don't know what happened to that guy. How Bob Burns didn't get all that, I don't know. He should have.
Well, he lost a good deal of it before he passed. I think it was to finance legal things that were not good. He had some legal competition, shall we say. But I don't know enough about it to get into detail. I just know that's a good deal of it. I think one of the few things he retained, though, was Ultima Futura, the robot from Metropolis, because that was his most treasured possession.
That should be in the Smithsonian.
There should be a science fiction hall of fame. Imagine all the cool stuff you could put in there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The Reptilicus guy, Monster, went on to do everything except beat up on communists. Aliens, insurrection, all kinds of stuff. This monster just got famous going after all kinds of things. UFOs, it's just like crazy what they did with this. There were two
and that'll be later on the Twitches, right? That's what you're showing on the Twitches tonight.
It will. A whole lot of radio, I'm sure, right?
That's where I was going with it. That's at 8 o'clock right after this show. And tonight, we got CBS Radio Mystery Theater, The Venus D'Owl.
Mm-hmm. You figured out how to say it, huh?
I was probably close, but EG will let us know for sure.
Yeah. All right. You got to take it easy. I got so much stuff to do, but I wanted to say hello. And someone said, you know, people could call.
I did.
I was like, well, why not?
And you did.
And I did.
It works, Dale. It works.
I didn't expect anybody to really do it, but whatever.
Until you hit that.
CBS Radio Mystery Theater, The Venus D'Owl, originally broadcast.
Episode number 83, broadcast January, March, April 30th of 1970, and four.
There you go.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to our world of mystery and the macabre. The Romans called her Venus. The Greeks knew her as Aphrodite. To other ancient peoples, she was Ishtar, Isis, and Astarte. But whatever the name, She was always the same, the mysterious, passionate, voluptuous goddess of love, and sometimes of death.
You belong to her now, Claude. You belong to Venus.
What are you saying?
You made a vow to the statue.
I was only joking. We were all only joking.
Perhaps. But she took it seriously.
But it's only a statue.
It's the statue that stood in the shrine of the Temple of Venus. It is the Venus herself.
But what does she want?
She wants you.
I didn't mean it. You saw it was all in fun.
She wants you, Claude. She wants to love you. And then, as she's done so many times in the past, she'll kill you.
Our mystery drama, The Venus de Ile, was especially adapted from the Prosper Mérimée classic for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan, and stars Norman Rose. It is sponsored in part by the Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal, and by new sugar-free Diet 7-Up. I'll be back shortly with Act 1.
Hockey tonight, the Chicago Cougars lost to Toronto in the World Hockey Association 7-6. The Blackhawks lost to Boston in the NHL 4-2.
Was it that said, some men are born wise, others are more fortunate. They're born handsome. We commend to your attention the young Vicomte Claude Louis de Chabert. At 38, who can count the hearts he has already broken? And who can even guess at the vast amount of golden francs he has already lost at such aristocratic pastimes as baccarat, vin de teint, chemin de fer? But this is of small importance to our handsome hero. He has long ago learned that his true fortune is in his faith. And so, on this evening, this intoxicatingly beautiful evening, in the spring of the year 1908, we find our Claude Louis in a luxurious casino on the coast of southern France.
Bless your bets, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. And now, mesdames et messieurs, we play. And it is prize rouge, 13, red.
There, you see, it's always rouge when I bet noir. But how can you change horses in midstream? No, I have faith. 50,000 francs on the black.
I'm sorry, Monsieur le Vicomte.
About what?
There can be no more credit.
No credit? Call the manager.
It was the manager himself who gave the order.
Oh, I see.
I am sorry, Monsieur.
Save my place at the table.
Come in. Ah, Claude. Have a chair, my boy.
Monsieur Armand, is this how you treat an old friend?
We'll have a glass of champagne. Fabulous flavor.
What is the meaning of
this? Have a cigar. Just arrived from Havana.
Have a chair. Have a glass of champagne. Have a cigar. I'm waiting to hear you offer me what I came in for.
And what's that?
Credit.
Credit. Let me talk to you like a father.
I can see where this is leading. No credit.
Had you not come to see me, I would have gone to see you.
Why?
You owe this establishment 1,000,000 francs.
And?
And there are those who will demand payment. Those who will take drastic steps. If payment is not forthcoming within the next few days.
What are you talking about?
My boy, we are now... How can I say this? Well, we are now organized.
Organized?
We are owned by a syndicate... And all debts must be collected. They will be collected by people who are known as enforcers, I think.
Will you extend me credit or not?
Claude, please listen. The syndicate has been through my books. You are in danger.
You expect me to be frightened by these hoodlums?
Claude, give me some assurances that you can pay or else please disappear for a while.
I I have a document that will not only encourage you to extend credit, but will also satisfy the vultures who seem to be running your establishment.
The document?
Mm-hmm. I have here a letter from Mademoiselle Eloise Calvert.
The heiress?
Yes, the heiress. The wealthiest young lady in France. In which she says, among other things, "My darling Claude, if you refuse to marry me, I don't think I care to live any longer."
She says that?
Now, I would assume that this should serve as a gilt-edged letter of credit. A document even stronger than the Bank of France.
May I see the letter?
If you insist.
Fine. On the basis of this, your credit is unlimited. But make sure the engagement is announced within 3 or 4 days.
Of course. And perhaps sooner.
Good morning, darling.
Good morning, Eloise.
Oh, it's only you, Henri.
I'm sorry you're disappointed.
Well, you are not bad. And if there were no Claude Louis, you might even do. Henri, have you seen him?
He's probably still fast asleep.
No, he promised to play tennis with me this morning.
No, then he'll be along. Where did you get this amazing statue?
Oh, I don't know. Monsieur Delon, who bought all that art for my father, my dear departed father, advised me to pick it up.
It's fantastic. A bronze 8-foot Venus?
She should be worth more than the one at the Louvre. At least this one has arms.
Why do you place her here, at the entrance to your tennis court?
Why not? We always have a crowd here. Why should she be lonesome?
Do you know that in Greek and Roman times, our very town of Ile had a temple sacred to Venus? Yes, right here.
Now, how and why should I know a thing like that?
And this was the great statue of Venus that stood in the shrine of the temple.
Really? The same one?
Look at the air of mystery that surrounds the face. This is a woman of many moods and passions.
Here comes Claude Louis.
Good morning, Eloise.
Hello, darling.
And Cousin Henri.
Have you examined this statue, Claude?
Great big girl, isn't she? She's magnificent, too.
The goddess of love. The fickle, jealous, unpredictable goddess of love.
Well, I came down to play tennis.
And I am ready for you. You're not really very good this morning.
Well, wait till I warm up.
I'm just toying with you. You can hardly hit the ball. What will you do in the game?
I'll tell you what it is, darling.
An excuse coming up. Make it good.
Well, it's this ring. This ring I'm wearing.
That big, ostentatious, vulgar...
Now. It belonged to my father.
Well, I never liked it.
Stop. Stop for a minute. I want to take it off. I can't grip the racket properly. Now, where can I put it? I don't have a pocket in these trousers.
Why don't you just throw the ugly thing away? I'll buy you a new one.
Oh, now, darling, it has a very sentimental value. Oh, I know a good place for it. Excuse me a minute.
Where are you going?
I'll just put it on Miss Venus's finger.
Oh, and I thought you came here to put a ring on my finger.
No, Claude, no.
No what?
Don't do that. It's,
It's what?
I was about to say blasphemy. But that's not really the word.
Oh, Henri, what are you talking about?
But it just doesn't seem right. After all, she is the goddess of love, and you can't...
Yes?
You're offering her your ring, which means you're asking her to marry you.
Do you have any idea what you're saying, Henri?
That is, symbolically, of course.
Eloise, is your cousin always like this?
Well, he's a very deep person.
Claude... I wouldn't do that if I were you. Don't put that ring on her finger.
Why not? There we are. It fits her perfectly. Looks good on her, too.
All right. Now let's see if that ring really was what cramped your style, Claude.
Let's see you get that one.
Oh,
Oh, dear. Nice. But you'll have to do it again.
Watch out.
You were better than last time, but still not good enough.
Well, if all I did was play tennis all day...
Why don't you? Uh-oh. It's going to come down any minute. Let's run for the house. We shouldn't be out here in the lightning.
Hey, Henri, get my ring, will you?
And meet us in the house, Henri. Come on, Claude.
Wait a minute. He's just standing there.
Darling, it's going to pour any second.
What's the matter with him? Henri! Eloise, is he all right?
Well, let's go see. Henri?
Henri? Henri, what are you staring at?
Your ring, Claude.
Well, what about my ring?
It won't come off her finger.
What?
Try it yourself. Just try to take it off.
All right, I will.
Please hurry. We'll be drenched.
See what I mean, Claude?
What does he mean, Claude?
This ring, my ring, for some reason, I can't seem to get it off her finger.
What on earth are you talking about? Just take it off.
Well, it seems to be stuck.
Why?
I don't know.
Wait. Why are we just standing around in the rain?
Why won't this ring come off? I can't even move it.
Well, you worry about it. I'm going into the house before I get soaked.
Henri, why can't I get this ring off? Why?
Dinner will be ready in a few minutes. The chef went out of his way for Claude. Oh, Henri, why doesn't he ask me to marry him?
Who? The chef?
No, idiot, Claude.
He will. After all, he's penniless.
Oh, now that's not worthy of you.
I'm sorry.
Where is Claude?
He's out on the tennis court.
Now?
It seems he still can't get his ring off that goddess's finger.
I don't believe it.
Do you want to go see?
In this rain? No, thank you. Oh, Claude. Oh, darling, look at you. You're dripping wet.
Well, I'm sorry. I'll go right upstairs and change.
What were you doing outside?
Well, I know it sounds silly, but I was trying to get my ring off her finger.
And did you?
No.
There could be a kind of secret spring, and it snapped, and it sort of curved her finger around it.
I don't know what to do about it. Is it all right if I just leave it there?
Oh, I never liked that ring. If the statue wants it that badly, let her have it. Did you enjoy dinner, darling?
Oh, it was delicious. Pierre outdid himself.
How would you know? You scarcely touched your food.
Eloise, if you must know, it's that silly statue.
Can't we forget her finally, I hope?
Henri, how do you account for it?
You wouldn't believe a word I say.
Oh, well, say it.
In the old days, she was the center of an adoring, worshipping populace right here. Every day, she was presented with gifts. And then suddenly, it stopped. The old religion had died. And for nearly 2,000 years, she's been neglected. Suddenly, once again, she is given a gift. You can imagine that this one is more precious to her than anything in her history. And so she refuses to give it up.
Claude, darling, of course Henry is crazy, but he's only my cousin by marriage, so it doesn't run in the family.
Well, it's rather late. I think I'll turn in. Good night, all.
Good night.
Yes, good night.
Of course, you received my letter.
That's why I came.
I love you, Claude.
I love you, too.
But I want you to ask me.
Oh, yes. Yes, I will.
Well, I'm waiting.
Eloise,
Claude, why are you so pale?
I don't know.
Are you ill?
I feel very strange.
How?
As if I hear music.
Music? But upstairs now.
It's an unusual kind of music. I've never heard anything like it before.
Claude, Claude, you belong to me. You have given me your ring. You belong to me. You belong to me.
Did Claude do? Did he really awaken this sleeping goddess after so many centuries? Is there a goddess? Well, you can look at it any way you like, but the basic essential fact remains. The ring won't come off her finger. And I can tell you right now, it doesn't come off in Act Two either, which you will hear when I return shortly.
Speaking of things that don't come off.
The hell? The hell is that?
Well, that was you, wasn't it?
I guess it was. Yeah, so what was that gentleman's name? I remember him as the narrator in one of my favorite stories we played here. I can't remember if we played the X-1 or Dimension X.
Norman Rose.
Yeah, I recognize his voice right away. Fogsbane picked it up, too.
Yeah, for Nock, he was the narrator of the entire Dimension X series in 1950 and 51, and then he also did many of the X-1s as well.
Yeah.
He was known back then as, his voice was so amazing, he was known as the voice of God by many people in radio.
Wow.
Because his voice had such great presence to it.
Someone once said that about me, that I had the voice of a god, but they had something after God. Damned
idiot. A dead god or what?
No, dead, goddamned idiot. That's what they said.
Just kidding.
Oh, my. Yep. The interesting tale going on. The statue won't give the ring back.
Nor should it.
That's right. He gave it to her. She should get to keep it.
That's right.
You know, because then she could pawn it and have, you know, get a better dress or something, you know?
Yeah. Why, they oughta. Not but a good tale, nonetheless. Plus, we've got the ever-familiar voice of Norman Rose.
Norman Rose, yes. You know, the interesting thing about that Nock, especially the one that was in the Dimension X, Norman Rose was the narrator, and Arnold Moss was the guy that was left behind there. In the
professor, yeah.
Story. Yeah.
Yep.
And to talk about two great voices. Wow.
Yeah. I reminds me of a certain ethnic science fiction joke.
Oh, yeah.
Two astronauts go out in space from a certain ethnic country. One goes for a spacewalk. When he's done, he knocks to come back in, and the guy inside says, "Who's there?"
Yeah. That's like on Commander Clarksnot and Donnie.
Yes. Oh, my. Well, let's wrap up part two then of the Venus Hills. See, it makes sense. When you put D apostrophe in French, I believe that means from, which is why a good number of French names, last names, are D apostrophe something, and it's usually from an area. So this is Venus de Hills.
So mine would be like French de fries, you know?
Yes, exactly. French de toast. It's a little bit like détente, but it's de toast.
Yep. Okay.
English 102 here on Erie House Radio as we return to CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
To begin with, there is a huge bronze statue of Venus. And because a rather large ring was interfering with the way Claude Louis de Chabert gripped his tennis racket, he took off the ring. And because the statue offered a convenient resting place, he set the ring on its finger. And now it develops the ring can't come off. And the statue seems to have ideas of her own.
You belong to me, Lord Louis. You are mine. No other woman can ever have you.
Claude?
Yes?
Darling, something's wrong.
I have a feeling...
I'm going to call the doctor.
Oh, no.
But you're ill.
No, I'm not ill.
Darling, please, get some rest. I'm sure you'll feel better in the morning.
Oh, yes, yes, I'm sure of it. I'll just sit here for a few minutes and smoke a pipe.
All right. Good night, Claude.
Good night.
My beloved... Lord Louis, my beloved.
Who is that? Who's there?
Claude, you will come with me. You will live with the gods. You will live like a god. Leave this house. Leave this foolish mortal woman and come with me.
No.
Claude, I am the goddess of love. I am also the goddess of death.
No. No, no. Let me alone.
Good morning, darling.
Good morning.
I had to appear to prepare an especially delicious breakfast, so I do hope you're hungry.
Ah, Mademoiselle Louise. Monsieur Claude?
What is it, René?
Monsieur Claude, you asked me to see about the ring.
What ring? Oh, that ring.
Were you able to... The ring just won't come off. It's like fused to the metal.
Could that be... possible somehow?
No, sir. It is not possible unless you welded it on there, which you didn't.
Well, then what's to be done?
Nothing. Unless you want to cut the finger off.
Oh, no, no.
I am so tired of all this chatter about that silly ring.
Oh, thank you, René. I appreciate what you've done.
Yes, Monsieur Claude. Good day. I tried my best.
I'm sorry I bought that ridiculous statue.
She's hardly ridiculous.
Well, now you're starting to talk like Henri.
I'm sorry.
I keep asking myself, why did I have to fall in love with you?
Because I'm charming and handsome.
No, well, the sensible thing would have been to fall in love with Henri.
Darling, I'll go up and change and meet you at the tennis court. Whoever you are, whatever you are, listen. I put that ring on your finger the way, well, the way you place a hat on a rack or a coat on a hook. I wasn't thinking of, well, I certainly didn't mean anything by it. So if this is all a practical joke, fine, the joke's on me. But if you really are a goddess and you're taking this seriously, what would you want with me anyhow?
You are my beloved.
I'm trying to explain. I must marry Eloise Calvert. I have no choice.
I am your bride. I will share you with no mortal woman. I will see you dead first.
I didn't know you were in the habit of talking to yourself.
Henri, what are you doing here?
Eloise sent me. Her lawyer has just arrived from Paris. He has papers for her to sign.
Oh.
In anticipation of your coming marriage, She's having considerable property signed over to you.
Oh.
Something wrong with you this morning?
Well, it's that damn statue.
Claude, I shouldn't say this.
Shouldn't say what?
I have good advice for you, even if it goes against my own interest. Please, forget about that statue.
Oh, forget?
This whole affair about the ring and the mysterious fact that it won't come off is starting to frighten Eloise.
Frightened?
She doesn't like to be frightened.
Well, who does?
She's been fantastically rich all her life. She's always had everything she wanted by snapping her fingers. Except you.
Well, she's got me.
No, not quite yet. Instinctively, you know how to treat her. You don't fall at her feet the way the rest of us do. You maintain a kind of reserve. That's because you know all about women.
You flatter me.
Even now, you're playing her to perfection. True, it's a formality, but she wants that ritual declaration of love, that beautifully stated proposal of marriage, and you delay it exquisitely.
But I came here to propose.
You've already proposed to one goddess.
Stop that, will you?
The goddess of love. And now you intend to propose to another.
Eloise, a goddess?
Of course. The goddess of wealth and power. How fortunate. Each of these goddesses wants you as her consort.
Oh, Henri, sometimes I wonder about your sanity.
That's just another way of saying that you wonder about your own. Why won't the ring come off?
Well, there must be an explanation.
Yes, there is. You're the fiancée of Venus. She won't give you up.
I mean a rational explanation.
It makes sense to me. And it also makes sense to you. You don't have to admit it.
Well, I came here to propose to Eloise.
Hey, why don't you do it?
I will. I'll take her out to dinner tonight, and I'll ask her to marry me.
Oh, what a lovely place.
A bit off the beaten track, darling.
And the food.
I wanted a perfect setting.
For what?
For the most important statement of my life.
Flatterer.
Of course I'm a flatterer. And you love flattery.
Doesn't every woman? Oh, I can see we're going to be a very straightforward couple.
Yes. Eloise, I...
Yes?
I want to ask you to...
I'm waiting. You're mine, Claude. You gave me your ring.
But I told you...
Claude, you may play with other women. You may deceive other women. But no man in the history of the world has ever deceived me and lived. I am Venus. I am Aphrodite. I am Astarte. I am Isis. I am Ishtar.
But I only...
Hundreds, thousands, numberless races of men on this planet have worshipped me under numberless names. And now, I choose you. I choose you, Claude Louis. You belong to me. You are mine. You must leave this woman.
Claude. I must be...
Darling, something is wrong.
No, I just feel very...
Very what? See, you can't say. You don't know.
But I know.
Do you?
I spoke to Dr. Legrand. He told me all about men like you.
Men like me?
Yes. It has to do with the fear of becoming a husband.
But I have no fear of...
Yes, yes, you do. Oh, you do. Way down, deep down in the subconscious where you're unaware of it. You're giving up the old, wild freedom. And you are just not sure you want to...
Oh, but I am...
Well,
I intend to be patient. I love you.
Ah, good evening, Claude.
Oh, well, good evening, Monsieur Armand.
I was dining here with some associates, and I thought I would come over to pay my respects.
Oh, yes. Darling, may I present Monsieur Armand?
I am honored, mademoiselle.
Enchanté.
Well, Claude, I had expected...
Yes?
Apropos of our last discussion, I had expected a settlement or a statement.
Yes, yes, I know.
As a matter of fact, my associates were saying just now, why do you suppose we have not heard...
Reassure your associates for me, monsieur, that everything is in order.
Of course. So happy to have made your acquaintance, mademoiselle.
Darling, what was he talking about?
Oh, business proposition.
Claude, Monsieur Armand, he's sitting at that table. Look, over to the right, you see?
Oh, well, what about it?
Well, look at those two men at the table with him. He called them his business associates.
I suppose they are.
Well, then I cannot imagine what sort of business he could be engaged in. Those two men are the worst-looking thugs I've ever seen in my life.
No, darling, you shouldn't judge by appearance. They could be tender-hearted, church-going, devoted family men.
Oh, no. Hired killers would be more likely. Darling, take me home. I'm frightened.
And she has every right to be frightened. We know why the ruthless and determined men want 1 million francs from our friend Claude Louis. If he marries Eloise, well, no problem. However, Claude Louis is becoming more and more convinced that he is already betrothed to the jealous goddess Venus herself. In which case, it would be fatal to jilt her. Decisions, decisions. The choice, however, must be made. And it will be when I return shortly with Act 3.
And he will, trust us. As we wrap up part two of Venus Deal. Dave, are you with us? Hold on. See if we can bring him back in. Dave, are you there? I guess
not.
Yes, you are.
Yes, I are. Sometimes I forget to turn that stupid mute off. I mean, back on again. So it does happen.
It happens.
So now... I'm not sure whether he's in dreamland or in real land talking to this statue who's talking to him, which isn't really talking to him. Is that the gist of what we got so far this act?
I think that's where we're pretty much at, Dave.
Okay, just checking. Just checking.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Like real life. We don't even
like
know what reality
life.
Is anymore.
You know, and that's the interesting thing about mystery theater. They are some of the characters are very like Norman Rose actually is kind of playing a real life playboy, broke playboy going after the rich money when all the this odd stuff happens. Yeah. You know, like you and me, you know, you and me, you know? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
We're a couple of odd guys. That's for sure. Odd.
Yeah, so it's interesting tale, but you know, there's so many of these that we haven't gotten into yet. They are about the relationships and dealing with the bad relationships and all kinds of funs like that, and moiter, a lot of moiters in the mystery theater throughout the years. So
moiter. It's yep, moiter out there.
It's moiter out there. Interesting tales for some people complain that they're just old-fashioned stories, old-fashioned talk. But there's, I just can't agree with that. Was there anything like this on an old radio program? I'm trying to think here.
Not exactly, I don't think.
Yeah, no. The wording, the phrasing, I think at the end, as I listened to some of these in the last year, just before E.G. Marshall left and after he left, and the time left that Tammy Grimes finished it out, is that they did kind of, since they had so many of the same writers, they did kind of run out of story ideas. And it's interesting. I find stories from like a thriller. There's one in here that's like a thriller episode and things like that, that they've taken kind of swipe like, the concept. Yeah.
Like Michael Jackson? Oh, different thriller.
No, different thriller.
Okay.
Karloff's thriller.
Yeah. That would be different. And better.
And better. Yeah. No. Yeah. Well, Michael Jackson's thriller had Vincent Price, so that wasn't all that bad.
Nah, you can't lose with Vince.
Here's a question for you, since we're all on right. that. Would Thriller be the classic it was without Vincent Price?
That's a great question, and my inclination is to say no. It would not be the same without Vincent Price.
It would not. I honestly don't believe so. It would not be the classic that it is. It was his narration that made that, and it brought a whole new generation to appreciate Vincent Price.
I wonder what CW would think about the matter.
I wonder. If only we had that little bug in our ear. That would...
Well, wonder no more, for I am here, CW. Greetings and salutations to everyone.
Greetings. Oh, she's gone. She didn't answer the question.
She missed a peer. That could be a connection issue. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if she returned somewhat in a short time here.
Oh, short time here.
We'll give her a little bit before we roll back into our conclusion, now that I know we've got tons of time left.
We have tons of time. And hopefully she'll come back to – I'm on the edge of my seat waiting to see what she says about if it would be a classic. But in my mind, it wouldn't be the thing that just plays every Halloween on just about every radio station, it seems, without Vincent Price.
Ah, no.
I think she's back.
I'm back. You'll never be rid of me. Yes, anything with Vincent Price is... absolutely fantastic.
That wasn't the question, though. The question is, would Thriller be the classic that it is without Vincent Price?
You mean the television show?
No, the Michael Jackson song.
The Michael Jackson song.
Oh, that one. Yeah, because that was Boris Karloff on Thriller.
Right.
I often wonder if he had approached Sir Christopher Lee, because Sir Christopher Lee had a background in singing.
Sure.
And I wondered what his voice would have done. Yeah.
He became a metalhead late in life.
Oh, did
he? He did. But he also, oh, yeah. He has the record of being the oldest metalhead on record, at least to date. I don't know. William Shatner is with us, so I don't know. William Shatner might throw it in there.
Became such a metalhead that he never could get through the airport again. Yeah.
Now that was from having a big head, Shatner.
But I'm just wondering, that laugh of his was so iconic. But
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, Christopher Lee had a fabulous voice too. So I don't know if it would put a different spin on things.
Well, you definitely gave us more to chew on with the Christopher Lee aspect. I mean, no doubt about it that Michael Jackson was a huge, huge pop star. And really never messed
that.
Up anything he touched, well, except a few kids. But,
Someone, you need to eat less meat, eat more vegetables, eat some kale and calm down. Have a piece of kale and calm down.
I think you're onto something here.
Yeah, but it's not very good, whatever it is. Yeah.
But I will, if you do remember, if you're talking about someone getting the proverbial dare I say it, the proverbial shaft, too. Vincent Price said that he was never properly paid for doing that.
Really?
Considering, yeah, you never heard about that?
No, I did not.
For doing the thriller?
Tons of art. Yes, he was never properly paid for it.
See, that's not the
I don't
the
know.
I got when his daughter was talking about it at Goulardi Fest. That's not the feeling I got for it. It was just he didn't even really know who Michael Jackson was, and he thought it just sounded like a cool idea and went and did it.
No, it's on YouTube. He's on the Late Show.
Okay.
The Johnny Carson show. Johnny, I don't know if Johnny Carson was the one who was hosting that night or not. I don't think so. I think it was somebody else. I think it may have been Joan Rivers. But he knew the Jackson 5 when they were kids. He knew of them. He'd met them before. Hang on. I got to go out into the road right now. But suffice to say, if you look it
Wait,
up.
What do you mean by go out in the road? You're giving me a heart attack here. Stop it.
Look out for that car.
I'm going to run out in the road right now. Didn't leave me like that.
You have to change the stoplight, you know? Jeez. You have to change that every so often.
Yeah, I'm just trying to do the best I can with this. Oh, yeah, there's 18 wheelers in my way. Get out of the way!
God. Oh. Oh, boy.
Yeah, just look at, dear listeners, look up that information. Vincent Price felt he was not properly paid. And I don't know if it was a gentleman's agreement, but considering the fact that he was in show business for a long time, very careful about his money, he no doubt had agents, managers, lawyers. I don't know how it could have gone that way, but it did. From everything I've read, he was not thrilled about Thriller making so much money, and he felt he just didn't get a proper share of it. So I don't know.
No residuals for Vincent.
It may have been residuals or it may have been the flat payment, but he wasn't happy about it. I'm thinking his daughter is erring on the side of caution that she doesn't want Jackson's estate coming after her. It's one thing if her father said it when he was alive, but she probably just wants to let sleeping dogs lie.
Could be.
Which
could
is
be.
A good thing. It might bite you if you wake him up, yeah.
Plus, I'm surprised to hear Vincent himself even discuss things like that in public, because he just was a cool guy and not subject to complaining. You know, I don't know.
He was a very cool guy, but he was human like everybody else. I mean,
sure.
He had what three marriages, three or four marriages.
He had at least two, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, a couple.
Hey, you got to keep up with the Joneses.
Yeah, I guess he was trying to outdo Boris Karloff. Boris Karloff, I think, had four or five marriages.
Yeah, he had a few.
Well, he was okay while they were dating. He was okay while they were dating, but he turned into this monster, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And this
good one.
Venus de Milo episode with our wonderful Mr. E.G. Marshall, is it not reminiscent of a Carl Koshak Night Stalker episode?
The one about the but she was really there more about youth. More than anything else on that one.
Yes.
Yeah. The Kathy Lee Crosby episode you're talking about?
Yes. She didn't reference the goddess Aphrodite or Venus. She referenced Hecate.
Okay.
Which was a Greek goddess and could be really on the mean side if she really wanted to, which she was.
Which she was, yeah.
Hmm.
Turned Kathy Lee into a statue. Yes, she did. Oh,
oh yeah.
I'm sorry. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Damn, I was going to go watch it. Oh.
Man.
I take it back. Rewind the tape, Dale. I take it back.
Take what back?
I was listening to this episode when they were saying Venus wants to love you and then kill you. I was thinking, gosh, I bet that's reminding those guys of their exes. Oh dear.
That part is similar. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, wait. That's not. I didn't say that because that would be another spoiler alert.
Oh
shame
yeah.
Shame on me. I'm just full of spoiler alerts tonight. The thing about spoiler alert, I guess you're supposed to say it before you say it, you know, not afterwards.
Yes. Because if you say it afterwards, then all you really need to say is oops.
Yeah.
Oopsie.
Oopsie.
But that's okay. We have a forgiving audience, I'm pretty sure. Otherwise, they wouldn't be here anymore. Let's wrap up. Our radio program from CBS Radio Mystery Theater, The Venus Statue.
This is WBBM, Chicago News Radio 78.
How would you like to be in a position to choose between a goddess of earthly power and the goddess of heavenly love? You say you'd adore such a dilemma? Think again. Or better still, listen closely to the fate of the Vicomte Claude-Louis de Chaubert. He happens to be in that precise predicament.
Ah, good morning, Claude.
Morning, Henri.
You seem to have quite an appetite this morning.
Well, they say the condemned man ate a hearty meal.
What does that mean?
I'm not sure. Have you seen Eloise?
No, she's still asleep.
Well, that's not like her.
She's worried about you.
Well, everything's all right. We can be married tomorrow if she wants.
Oh? You've decided?
Of course.
And what about the other one?
What other one?
As if you don't know.
I'm not sure I understand.
The Venus, your own Venus deed.
Oh, that. Let me tell you, I didn't sleep last night.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. It was good for me. Henri, I did some thinking.
And?
And I called myself every stupid name I could remember.
Why?
If I keep this up, this groundless, mindless, idiotic fear or apprehension, if I keep imagining she talks to me, well, I can very well lose Eloise.
Eloise is very much in love with you.
Love. Love is an illusion. You fall in, you fall out. I can read women. This ring business is beginning to irritate her. Worse, it's starting to bore her.
Ah, I've been warning you.
What really happened? I needed a resting place for a ring. So I absently placed it on the finger of a statue. A lifeless metal statue. You follow me?
You're telling the story.
Due to some phenomenon that probably has a rational explanation, if we ever find it, the ring seems to adhere to the finger of the statue. Is that true?
Obviously, the ring's still there.
But that's all that happened.
Who said anything else?
You did.
Me?
You. You're the one who invested the statue with all kinds of magic and mysterious qualities.
Well, I was merely stating some facts.
Oh, yes, of course. But you have an ulterior motive. If you could get me upset, fire my imagination, perhaps, something might happen, and you could have Eloise for yourself.
I'm not aware that I've tried to upset you.
No, not consciously, perhaps. Well, in any event, it's all over. And I certainly will not jeopardize my chance of becoming a billionaire because of an overactive imagination. Do you understand me?
Yes. But I wish you'd be honest with yourself. You said you absently placed the ring on her finger. Is that really true? Or did you do it as a joke? Or did you, as millions of men before you, actually fall in love with her?
Oh, no, Ari. We're not having any more of that. Well, old girl, I must say it was exciting. It was even fun for a while. Venus Deal. Oh, you must have been something in your day. All woman. Oh, no. No, madame. I'm wise to these little tricks of the mind. Not this time. Not again.
Claude.
Of course, Claude. But you're in my head. You're part of my imagination.
Claude, you belong to me.
I belong to no one. I belong to myself.
Foolish Claude. Do you think you can fight me?
You're just an image in my own brain.
Claude. You don't love Eloise. You're in love with love. Claude. I am love.
I don't believe.
Yes, Claude. You believe. You believe. The love I offer you is beyond dreams, beyond imagination.
No. No, I'm not listening.
A glorious love.
No, please.
Don't be frightened. Come with me. Live with me. Live like a god. A god. Live on love.
No.
You asked me, God. You gave me your ring. You wanted me. You always wanted me. Say it.
No.
Say it, God. Say the truth.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Then, come with me.
That's how it happened. That's how it happened. I know. I know how it happened.
Claude. What are you doing standing out here and yelling like a maniac?
Maybe it's another electrical storm. We'd better get inside.
Oh, yes. Come, Claude.
Now I know.
What do you know?
I know. I know why the ring is stuck on her finger.
Oh, do you?
Is it so important after all?
Oh, yes, it's important. Do you remember what Rene said? He said it looked as if the ring is fused to the metal. Well, look closely. Doesn't it appear that way?
What's the difference?
He also said it was impossible unless you welded it on. And of course you didn't.
No, I didn't. But someone else did.
Who?
Perhaps not a who. But a what?
What did happen?
We were playing tennis. I took the ring off, placed it on her finger.
Well, we already know all that. Tell us the rest of it.
You know the rest of it, too.
Claude.
Of course you do. We kept playing tennis, and then suddenly there was a peal of thunder, a flash of lightning. Well, don't you see?
No.
The lightning, it must have struck the statue in such a way as to have fused the ring to her finger.
Well, that's impossible.
No, it's not impossible. It could have happened.
Well, then it answers the question and finally settles the problem.
It's the only way we can account for it.
Unless...
No, Henri, no more of these unlesses.
So now can we forget about it?
Absolutely, my darling. Eloise, marry me.
What?
I said marry me.
But I was expecting...
You were expecting a romantic speech, poetry, sweet music, sparkling wine.
Yes.
Shall I try again?
Oh, no. No, I accept. I accept.
May I be the first to offer congratulations?
Of course, Henri. You fought a good fight.
Ah, but the better man won.
Eloise, my darling, may I ask for a wedding present now?
Oh, anything.
Good. Could you get rid of this statue?
My rival?
Well?
Of course. We'll donate her to a museum.
No, I mean get rid of her.
How?
Have her destroyed, melted down.
Oh?
But Claude, she's priceless.
Well, I'll have it taken care of tomorrow. Well,
can it be done today?
Oh, yes, Rene will be back in the morning and...
Oh, well, I suppose it'll be all right.
He'll take care of her. First thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please.
Yeah, well,
a toast to the happy couple.
Oh.
Congratulations. Long life.
Thank you. Thank you all. Claude and I are so happy. Please, everybody, eat, drink, dance. Help us enjoy this glorious occasion.
You look beautiful, my dear.
Oh, I always dreamed of a night like this. Are you happy?
Oh, yes.
Completely?
Yes.
Todd, you look so thoughtful.
Do I?
Very.
I'm only thinking of us.
Only of us?
My darling, in this whole wide world, there are only the two of us.
But, Claude, is something the matter? You're frowning.
I wasn't aware.
You're not ill.
No, of course not.
You don't look very comfortable.
Oh, well, perhaps it's a bit close in here. I may just need a breath of fresh air.
Oh, I'll go with you.
No, dear, we both can't leave our guests. I'll just step outside for a moment. It'll do me good.
Eloise. Don't look, Eloise. Don't. The statue, it fell on him.
He's...
Yes. He's dead. The statue just crushed him.
Oh, he look.
What is it?
Look at the ring. That ring.
I don't see the ring.
Look.
Where?
On Claude's finger.
Oh.
The ring is back on Claude's finger.
Well, you have a choice. You can believe that the goddess Venus fell in love with Claude, became angry when he jilted her, and killed him. Or... you can believe that he went out for a walk and the rain had softened the statue's foundation and it just fell on him. There were also the enforcers. All the ingredients are there for a provocative stew.
use which you like, and stir to your taste. I'll be back shortly. The tale you just heard was concerned primarily with love. And why not? Love, like murder, is filled with suspense, chills, thrills, fears, uncertainty. And even better, there is a body of evidence to prove that love is far more healthy and satisfying than murder. And so, if ever you feel driven, why, just fall in love instead. Our cast included Norman Rose, Joan Lovejoy, Evie Juster, Dan Ockel, and Robert Dryden. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
What was that about a bell, Denny?
Search me, Mavourneen. When I came downstairs last night after I took you up to bed, Brian was by the window. He insisted he could hear a little bell ringing somewhere, but I couldn't hear it.
What kind of a bell was that?
Like it was on an animal, he said. Not like a cow, but more, say, like a goat.
The Lord and all his saints be praised.
Not goat. What is it, Sheila?
We should call him back. He should get out of Ireland.
Oh, what are you getting all riled up about now, honey?
I told you he was holding the shadow of death in his palm. Now I know I made no mistake. There's no bell in this town he could have heard, like you said. Except one.
What?
The one that's only heard by him it sounds for, and I know it for sure. 'Twas the death bell.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre.
Macabre.
Until next time, pleasant dreams.
CBS News in 1 minute.
And Newry House Radio right now.
I got a minute.
Got a minute?
I do, but you know what? There's something important we could have learned about this story besides the moral that we got with it.
I would have never guessed. Because if I had, I'd already be...
Oh, wait. I can jump in there again.
Yeah. That's it. Blog Talk's way of telling us you're about to fail again.
No!
Or it could have been an interlude for...
Yeah. What happened again? Oh,
really? Yep. Eerie House Radio proudly presents a garless moral of the story.
Apologies to Gar. Leaving your ring anywhere is dangerous. So if you must leave a ring, it should only be on the inside of a bathtub. I agree.
There you go. And that wraps up our CBS Radio Mystery Thriller. Yep. Definitely, yep. Definitely an issue.
Most definitely.
Oh, I'm going to have to put you guys on hold just a second. I'll be back.
We'll be
she
here.
Must have to make a left turn here. Make it a left turn.
Yeah,
stick out your arm, and that's why she has to go and come back. So.
Yep.
I thought it was a nice little interesting closing to the story. So.
Yeah, a little surprising, but that is if there's no spoilers.
Um, Yeah, you got to worry about some spoiler alerts. Yes, you do.
Yes. Well, yeah.
Well, we got some time to kill, Dale. I guess we could. Let's see. We could go. Should we go to the? You go to the jukebox, right?
Sure. Or we could do a wheel. We could do a wheel.
No, CW is so good at spinning that wheel. Why don't we hit the jukebox while we wait for her to take us off hold?
Jukebox it shall be. Let me see. You know what? I'll spring for it. Oh, you got it?
Okay. I just got paid, so I do have a wooden nickel with me.
All right.
Now let me reach across and head over to the jukebox and slide that good old wooden nickel right into the jukebox.
To-do up on Lenox Avenue, on that famous thoroughfare, with their noses in the air, high hats and colored collars, white hats and $15, spending every dime for a wonderful time. If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where Harlem sits, putting on the Ritz. Spangled gowns upon a bevy of high brown, from down the levee, all misfit. Putting on the Ritz, that's where each and every Lulu Bell goes. Every Thursday evening with her swell bows, rubbing elbows, come with me, and we'll attend their jubilee, and see them spend their last two bits. Putting on the Ritz. If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where Harlem sits? Putting on the Ritz. Spangled gowns upon the bevy of high brown, from down the levee, all misfits. And how they're putting on the Ritz, that's where each and every Lulu Bell goes. Every Thursday evening with her swell bows, rubbing elbows, come with me and we'll attend their jubilee and see the spend their last two bits. Putting on the Ritz.
93 KHJ Double Play.
And here are GI Journal's four-star vocal reporters for this week's request page. The King Sisters, Alice, Donna, Yvonne, and Louise, with a song for the 11th Airborne.
Sometimes I love's refrain, a melody that haunts me night.
rich men putting on the Ritz. And that was the King Sisters.
Yep. The King Sisters.
Beautifully done.
Yep. Wonder if they were from the King family. Remember the King family, Dave?
I'm not sure if they were. I do. I'm not sure if they were related at all. We'll have to look that up for yet another time, since we don't have a whole lot of time left.
Nah, we should probably mention what we're doing next week.
What should we do? Dale, what are we doing next week?
We're in some troubled waters next week. Yep. The seventh dimension. Ooh, that's interesting. Is that first time for this program?
First time for this program, yeah.
Something called Vostok or Vostok. Lights Out, Bathysphere, and Dark Fantasy, Convoy for Atlantis. And then next Saturday, we return with another CBS Radio Mystery Theater. So good on Saturdays.
The thing about the Bathysphere, that was one that has been honored by the Smithsonian as one of the top old radio programs in the history of radio. So do want to tune in for that one.
I was
surprised because we haven't played that one yet. And then when I looked through and saw that, you know, that was in with our topic, I said, ooh. That's what I said. I said, ooh. Yep.
So, yeah, we're sailing the sea or going under the sea.
Yep.
Next weekend. And then right after we're done here tonight. Yep, right after we're done here tonight, head on over to the Twitches for Gar with Audible Horror starring Gar the Ghoul. He's presenting Reptilicus. Or Reptilicus. Or Reptilicus.
Yeah, something like that, yes.
No, Reptilicus, a childhood fave of mine. I believe I would have seen that likely on Superhost. A good movie for kids. Good monster movie.
Very good. I'm surprised no one's done Reptilicus versus Godzilla. Godzilla.
Well, Reptilicus versus Gorgo.
Ooh.
There would be an international, or Gorgo versus Godzilla, even versus Godzilla and Tedzilla.
Oh yeah!
Now there's a battle royale. Huh?
Oh
Dale,
yeah!
Dale, you're slobbering again. Stop it.
I got a little bit of drool on the microphone. You wipe that off. Sorry about that.
If Dale shorts out, we all know why now.
Fogsbane, thank you, NCW, and Dave, and good old Bob, and Gar, and also, and the Tooth Fairy, as we'll be back next weekend, Friday at 6:30 Eastern, but have for now, head on over to the Twitches.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him. When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
We love you, Vincent,
and
even though
you
keep forgetting I'm here.
Oh, it was close. It was close.
Hey, ACW. CW, you're gonna have to talk to Google. Have a heart to heart with Google, because they pronounce your name Siwoo.
Yeah.
I have tried that.
Oh, okay.
It's not just Google. It's also Google and Meta, also known as Facebook. They won't have just CW. Thus, I had to do the phonetic.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, they got into that in Facebook. You must be a real person to have a Facebook account while they have all those thousands of fake accounts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Which they have, Joe Schmo.
Yes.
Yes, Joe Schmo and Groucho Marx, Harpo Marx, Karl Marx, Chico Marx, Gummo, and Zeppo Marx. Those are all real live persons. Sure.
Yeah. Then you had horror hosts that weren't allowed to use their horror host name.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Which is how Gar got his name in there anyway, because he called himself Gar Thaddeus Gernstein.
Yes.
He's been milking it ever since. Yeah.
There is Gar. I believe Gar is a first name. In
it is. Usually it's people who have the name Gareth will shorten it.
Yep.
Or Gary. So, yeah, and actually there's lots of Wu in the
yep.
world.
Yes, there
there's
are.
There's only one me. There's only one me, of course, but the last name Wu is very commonplace. I didn't know that at the time.
Oh, my gosh, yeah, that's a very common Asian last name.
It is. It is. Yeah, sorry I had to put you guys on hold, but I didn't want you to hear the crying as everyone was at the checkout. Yeah, you know, and also it is literally this particular store I'm at is closing. The snacks have almost evaporated. I forgot, isn't the Super Bowl thingy coming up soon?
This is just officially the last weekend of the football, so we have playoffs to go yet. The Super Bowl, I think, isn't until, the second Sunday in February now.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
okay.
It's a way away.
I was wondering, what happened to all the snacks?
Oh, I know
mean,
what it is. Everybody's getting ready to celebrate the spring training opening in the middle of February. Yeah,
yes.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Could be.
Oh, you can tell I'm a sports aficionado. That keeps me up at night, you know.
I'm sure.
Worrying about that. It's just that when I kowtow to my snacks, I don't care. I want my snacks. Get out of my way.
snack, good.
Snacky, snack, brain, snack, kale, snack.
Kale?
Yes, kale. Occasionally get some kale chips.
I like a good number of vegetables, but two things I will not touch are the lima bean and kale.
You know, it's funny. Lima bean is one of the few that I will. Yeah.
It's the texture, man, and the taste mixed. It's just, No.
Well, you never had my wife make it for you.
No.
There you go.
The lima bean is evil.
No.
Oh, just bury it in a cup of ranch dressing. You'll never know it.
No, just stop after bury it. I used to have to buy kale. I had a green iguana, and he liked his kale, and I thought, oh god, this foul odor. I can't do kale, and I can't do lima beans. I will feed it to an animal. You know, I will buy it, I will purchase it, and feed it to an animal that likes it. Not for me.
Do you ever try feeding it lima beans? Just wondered.
A lot of leafy, you couldn't feed it iceberg lettuce. It has no nutritional value. You got to have at least a romaine or a kale or something like that for an iguana. He liked dandelion heads. We never, ever fertilized our backyard in either property I've owned for that reason. because we used to cut off the dandelion heads. And he see those yellow heads. He loved them. He snarfed them right up.
Wow. Well, every part of the dandelion is edible and is wonderful. The heads. And you ever tried dandelion greens?
No. I have not. I have heard they are quite good, but I have not yet.
They are. They're very tasty, tons of nutrition. You have to get them when they're young because they get bitter as they get older.
I have that same problem.
But
Don't we all?
Oh, wow.
And the Steelers won, by the way.
Oh, did they? Okay.
I don't know if they're in for sure. I think it depends who does what, where.
Yeah.
Okay, once again, that explains the mystery because all the snacks, the crunchy, crunchy stuff was practically evaporated off the shelf. I was thinking, oh, no, are we having another run akin to the toilet paper disappearing? What's going on?
Well, I'm sure if you went over to the kale aisle, you'll find plenty there.
That is true. I did find plenty of veg. Organic carrots were in stock. So I'm not too worried about having something to crunch on. But as I said, when I want to kowtow to the less than healthier stuff.
Uh-huh. Carrots frustrate me. I love them, but I cannot grow them. I get these little inch and a half long things, and then it has this little root trailer that's like 3 feet long. That's like a little piece of wire you have to cut off the end. I've had no luck with growing carrots.
Do you get the green top? You may have rabbits or mold.
Yeah, that's what I was just saying. The carrots the rabbits get them. Yeah, yeah.
When you have collie, you do not have rabbits for long. He gives them all little rabbit heart attacks. They can't get in anyway. I have a fence within a fence. They really can't get in.
Hmm.
Yeah, the green looks fine on top and everything, you know, but it just doesn't do anything underground.
Do you know what you can do with those greens? Pesto. Mm. Do you like pesto?
Yeah, I do.
You can make pesto out of those carrot greens.
I like pesto. I like bruschetta on toast or pesto. Good
there
stuff.
You. So if you decide to give carrots another go and only get just like a little orange and a lot of green, just rip the greens off, wash them, grind them up. Make them as though they were the same thing as pesto. Tons of more nutrition, great flavor, and you can just spread that on your toast points. Pesto.
Hmm. Food for thought, literally.
Yes, that's CW's recipe for the day. Bon appetit, everyone.
We should have Eerie House recipes, you know? Get two large spiders.
Oh, yeah.
And a blender.
Last recipe we gave was when the a zombie chorus kept singing brains. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Brains.
I interviewed a zombie once on Spook Show.
Yeah.
I had a guest band. They were called Zombie Crutch. They were actually quite good. Sometimes I would play their videos on Eerie House TV and previously on Creepy Castle TV. And that was funny. You know, what do you guys like to eat besides brains? Plantains. what's your favorite mode of transportation? Trains. What kind of underwear are you wearing, Haynes? Fun interviewing a zombie. Plantains.
Cool.
That one was a stretch, but either
yeah, that was a stretch. Yeah.
Yeah. But the others were pretty cool.
It was a stretch, and yet it worked.
So we hadn't talked to you, so you rang in your new year fine, CW?
I did indeed. I rang it in on online, and I don't know how many different time zones.
Really? Okay.
Yep.
Online doing online things.
Yes. Saying, you know, sending emails and sliding into DMs to everyone, saying, Happy New Year, Happy 2024. I'm not dead. Hope you are the same.
Hope you are among the living. If not, do not reply.
Why?
Please do not reply.
Please
yeah.
do not reply.
Oh, God. Wow. Now, that would be a scary story.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Getting emails from dead people.
Kind of like the Twilight Zone where the lady was getting the call from the cemetery, right?
I was about to say phone calls would be worse, but yeah, that was great. That was great.
Yeah.
Tale. Spoiler
yeah.
alert.
That's another one of the stories that could yeah. some of the stories that could never happen today with everybody going wireless, you know?
Yeah. Well, there'd be a way to incorporate it though. I think today's writers are a little more hip with today's technology and can work in a, you know, if you have the imagination, you can work it out and make the story feasible enough and entertaining enough. I think it should be feasible.
Oh, I can think of a story even nowadays where you can do a Morse code from the dead.
Ooh.
Because there are
yeah.
What's
insane? Let me out! No.
I got told off by someone. I was on a Morse code app. You can download an app where you can learn Morse code. Well, I was playing with it before I learned it, and I guess I accidentally Morsed somebody. And they got ticked off and said, don't mess with this until you know what you're doing. Fine. Be that way.
Ooh. Ooh. Brutal.
I deleted the app.
Good plan.
I was tempted to Morse code something with a rather choice bit of words, but I refrained.
I guess you don't even need the Morse code to get your first class license anymore in radio.
Hmm.
Not that anybody will pay for somebody with a first class license anymore, but just because of the internet, you really don't need the more to know the Morse code anymore, I guess. So that's how that one
so
works.
I don't know. I mean, you mean you actually had to know Morse code to get a license to be a radio operator at a time?
Well, in order to have your first class license, you had to be able to, and it was a minimal amount. I think it was like 20 words in 1 minute, which isn't a whole lot.
You mean 20 different words?
Or 20,
same words 20 times?
Able,
or 20?
You had to decipher 20 different words in a minute, I think it was. Maybe it was a dozen, something like that. So it's not like you had to be super proficient in it.
So question, is a radio operator license that you're talking about the same as being a ham operator?
Probably, yeah. I mean, in many radio stations, in order to be on at a certain time, if you had to have your first class radio license. I mean, I know, I'm sure Dale and I have my third class, and I'm sure Dale does. I don't even think there's a second class. It's like a first and a third class. You know, there is no second class, I don't believe. But,
that's discriminatory.
And I think they've even eliminated the third class. So, Dale, we've been eliminated. So,
yeah.
Story of my life.
How rude.
And actually, anytime you're on the air, you were supposed to have that license with you. So, like in your wallet or something.
Because I, not last year, but 2 years before the pandemic, I went into a thrift shop just tooling around, and the price was right. And I purchased a Radio Shack AM, FM, shortwave, longwave radio.
That's just a receiver, though, right?
Yeah. It's not a it's not a transceiver. It just receives.
Right, right. I do know a couple of hams. One of them is Tim Davison, and he always encouraged me, you should get yours. I said, I don't have enough time. And I would, if I did, I wouldn't have enough time to do anything with it. So, nah, I'm okay.
Is it that hard to get it? I mean, are we talking, you have to know algebra? Because if you have to know algebra,
no,
it's not happening.
No, it's not really that, it's really not really that difficult, but, and Dale just got disconnected. Okay.
Oh,
okay. Oh, he's back, I think. Are you back, Dale? No, I guess he's not.
Oh.
But Tim does talk to people across the country and in other countries from time to time. So with his. So with that, let me find it. I got to find it before we. There is that it? Yeah, it is. Okay, CW. So I guess with Dale gone, perhaps we need to go ahead and you do your final duty of the night.
With the greatest of pleasure. Oh, calling to the stage, the one, the only, Mr. Durante, we're waiting just for you.
Good night, good night, good night. It's
my day.
Good night, good night.
No, we found the joke.
What more does this say but good night?
Silly day.
We've had a few laughs. And it's time for toodaloo. Ari, go on, we'll sing. And ink-a-tink-a-doo. Good night.
Good night.
Night.
Good night to the open kickoff.
Good night, folks. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night.
Good
night.
Good night. Encore! Encore!
Good night.
And now, until next time, till we meet again in the same place, I remain as always, obediently yours.